This is Roland Washington.
And this is David Kortzmeyer.
For JusticeFound.org.
We're doing a guest interview here with Rene Valdiocera, local technology specialist. He's working with folks doing economic development using technology. So today, Rene's got an interesting topic for us. Rene?
This is Rene Valdiocera. Thank you for inviting me today and talking a lot about technology and its effects on our society. Today, I was just reading the other day a note about how the U.S. is currently at 70% digital literacy, or 70%. I was looking at the numbers of different countries throughout the world and trying to compare what a country looks like when they have 70% of literacy rate. And if we were going to compare that, we are the level of Angola today. So if you are living
What does that mean, though?
What it means is that if 70% of the population in Angola is literate, and in the United States, 70% of the population is digitally literate, which means that it's a whacking comparison, but it shows a point in saying that if we claim that we're a digital society, in which we more companies and government agencies are moving their operations online, this means that 30% of the population that's not literate, digitally literate, is a large portion. I mean, as you're talking about 3 out of 10 people that don't know how to use computers when they are forced to, when you have to look for a job and you can no longer fill a job in an application in paper, you have to do it online. So what happens with those 3 out of 10 people?
And can we make a connection of digital illiteracy to race or gender or economic?
Well, certainly. And if we put this in numbers, I mean, 70%, it's close to 200 million people in the United States have access to computers and the internet. That means that 100 million doesn't. So for those 100 million, a large segment could be migrants, or could be low-income earners, and could be seniors. But does it make a difference that seniors or migrants or low-income earners don't use the internet? Of course it does. You know, like I always tell that, you know, seniors say that the internet is past their generation. Well, because of the internet, they could be the healthiest generation ever because they have access to, you know, information about health. They have access to information about symptoms and illnesses. They have the ability to communicate with their family members, even if they're far away. They have that ability at zero cost. And, you know, if you know a healthy body and a healthy mind leads to a growth in life expectancy, how is the internet not good for seniors? You know, so if you're going to take that out, migrant workers, well, you come here and you work, you produce. You want to be part of the economy which needs you, and you can't even, you know, find a job or apply for a job as a dishwasher because they won't take, you know, you have to do it on a computer. Well, how do you participate? So it doesn't really matter who these 100 million people are. The fact is that if you claim that you're a digital society, having 30% of digital literacy is really high. When the printing press was developed by Johannes Gutenberg, I think it was in the 1500s, 1400s, only 10% of the population could read. So it was a good invention, you know, promoted massive dissemination of information, but only 10% could read.
And who were they printing for?
Well, for the aristocrats and elite back then, but I mean, 500 years later, there's over a billion books, and mostly everyone can read them, right? That it has to be the same way in which seniors understand that. It's like saying that you don't want to use a phone because phones are not for you. Well, if you want to communicate with your family, you have to use a phone. So if you want to see your latest grandchild, or you want to, you know, be able to communicate with your grandchildren, you have to use the internet. And why would anyone say no to that? You know, have you ever heard anyone say, the phone is not for me? No, I mean, everyone uses phone, you know? So, I mean, it's just that you have to present it in a way which has some sort of impact. I would say that with seniors, if they're in the retirement, I mean, of course, we can all use an extra money, but I don't think that economic incentives comes to them towards that. I think for seniors, it would be more like health-related issues, family, you know, family connections. For the migrant workers, you might try a different approach. But I mean, it's all about reaching the person and letting them know that this is important. Again, I go back to the same thing. Who says that they don't want to use the phone? Well, the phone is not for them. I would say like 99.9999% would say the phone is for them. The same thing, computers should be for them. You know?
So do you think a digital community will promote equality?
Well, it is. Yes, yes, yes. And I think that I talked about this, and my friend Roland makes fun of me when I think that I say that politicians will fall, and big companies it's already happening. Like, big companies are falling to their knees because they can't build an infrastructure so big. When you create a digital society, anyone has access to it, and anyone can participate. You know, I think that, you know, the city town hall meetings and so on are, you know, you can have more people participating with more ideas. using the internet than any other forum. So yes, of course it. I think that we haven't even begun to see the reality of a more equal society where we're not only talking about democracy in political terms, but democracy in economic terms, which means having the access to more opportunities to engage in business and sell products and buy and sell. If you do it individually, you have more money for yourself, and you don't have to rely on promises of political candidates who are just selling you ideas so they can get elected. And they don't. It's physically impossible. The thing is that it's physically impossible for a candidate to reach every single person in a country or society. It's just physically impossible. So you have to give that. The internet gives the power to the individual to do whatever they want to do or they can do. No. So these are some of the ideas that we've been playing around with, and I think that digital literacy. And when people talk about the digital divide, the first most common. If you see a poster digital divide, the most common thing you'll see some village in Africa or some person, trying to reach a computer. The real digital divide is here in the United States.
Tenderloin, man.
Everywhere is possible. I think that the great thing for entrepreneurs and for social entrepreneurs who want to develop, there's a lot of space to do business with this because you can come in and create a business. I think I know this company, RedTap. They're doing a great job in integrating micro entrepreneurs into the internet, and they're doing a great job in reaching people that neither government or even companies like Yahoo or Google can reach. So they go out in the community, they invite people to come, they teach them how to use a computer, they get them online. And a lot of these people that start making money online, that's their incentive. Once they start saying that, I have my little web page and I clean homes and I do handiwork or I sell, firewood or whatever. Once they start seeing that there's money in there, then that's their incentive. And as mentioned before, if that's a good way to push people to use the computers and to see there's value there, so be it.
So what do you think of the OLPC? This is the famed $100 computer, which is now crept up to $150, and then
188, I think.
By the time
the last
it hit Christmas, it was like $200, and then you couldn't really buy it. You had to buy two if you wanted to buy one here.
Oh really?
Yeah. So basically, you're financing one for the developing world. So what do you think of it?
Well, it's an interesting project. I think that the rationale behind it is to reach kids throughout the developing world so they can learn better, they can use those resources. If you think about, education in our global world is probably the most important element. If you have the resources, even if you're above that line of poverty, that you can actually go to school. I wasn't aware of this, but I think 35% of the world does not have access to electricity. So one of the cool things about this computer is that they have, it has like a crank where you can actually...
It's like the Russian flashlight.
Why don't they offer it in America, though?
Well, that's a good option. That's a good option. I just think that it is sad that in the United States, we have people that are not using computers or don't have access to them. I mean, if you consider that most of the models where people have access to the internet in the developing world is through internet centers or internet cafes, as they call them. Here in the United States, our consumption level is high enough to be able to own your own computer. I'd like to see how much people are spending on computers as opposed to skateboards or any other kind of things, and what kind of level of importance they give into it. Watches, all this stuff, drugs,
iPods.
Alcohol, whatever, iPods. I mean, so it depends on the value of people that people place in education. But as that comes from your environment and from what you've seen. But again, we have to understand that there's never been a more important time in our history where education is the key. No longer it used to be where, we still remember the flashy, movies of the 80s and 70s where it was all about, driving the best car and that's what made you, successful and so on. Today, that's worthless. Today, you're competing with the rest of the world, basically, with more skilled people. Do you know that? Now they're China this year. China has reached 210 million internet users. That's the same number of people in the U.S. are using the internet. And how does it make it hard for us? It makes it hard because now we're competing with Chinese people that can start their own businesses and they can do it at a fraction of a cost that we can do it. And they can do it with Europe and they can do it with anyone because they have access to it. So if we're not leading in education, we're not leading in technology, we're not doing it, we're done because all manufacturing jobs, adios, they're gone. All our service jobs slowly and surely are going away. So we have to be innovative. We have to keep that. And we have to make sure that 300 million people in the United States have access to jobs or to something that they can do so they can participate. And I think that the internet will be one of those tools that can save us from losing all this competition edge with the rest of the world.
So why can't we have one laptop for one person here in America first?
Yeah, why aren't the candidates standing up and saying, hey, I want to wire the entire U.S.?
No one mentions technology in any of the debates. And I think information technology, I mean, because it... I mean, I live and I breathe and I see it every day, so I understand and I'm convinced of how this can help people move out of poverty, move out and develop and be able to compete. I haven't heard from any candidate that talks about technology as a central tool.
It doesn't pull well.
But you know what? I mean, you can solve a lot of the problems that you're talking about. I mean, if you center around the use of technology.
Housing, healthcare, and what's the other issue is...
The economy.
War in Iraq.
And it'd be interesting to actually, but you know what? The thing is that the coin is, we're living in a society where we no longer have to wait for a government or some clown to come and tell us what we can do. If you are out there and you're interested in answering this question that you asked, which is a great question, you can, start creating your own community and forum on the internet and building support to do something. You can do something about it. You can do something about it. And you can even do it as a nonprofit organization. You can do it as a business if you want to make some money and make some. There's never been another time in history where you can make good while you make money, and the internet facilitates that. Well, when you listen to this candidate talk about like the loss of jobs in the United States, who really gets into the details of explaining how jobs are going to be created or how jobs are going to be saved or how we're going to move to this? I mean, because this is central and part of our economy, but so does anyone use the word information technology, or does anyone get into the details of how they're going to do it? I haven't heard anything. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a challenge that you can put out there and you can actually talk and create support. I mean, as I mentioned, I know that because of this low cost and barriers to entry, that you can create your own idea and you can go out there and can create your own solutions if you want to do it. And I've recently started my blog, so if you want to check more information about the topics that I'm interested in and the questions that I'm putting out there, you can go to valdiosworld.wordpress.com.
And how would they spell that?
Valdios is V as in Victor, A-L-D-I-O-S. It's valdiosworld.wordpress.com.